Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad. It's the radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. There's Tone Robbins.
Live and direct.
Sophia Alexandria.
I am in the house. What's going on?
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject.
Sorry about that. All right, Brother Tone, are you in the house?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sorry about that, folks. I wanted to just basically get out there to tell everybody, listen, today's subject is very dear to my heart. Got a little distracted today. And but today we need to be able to talk on a subject that is well needed in our time. And I feel with Brother Tone here and myself, Sister Sophia will not be able to make it with us. She is dealing with some issues right now. So she sends her love to you all. And I think that, you know, we should all take a time and show our condolences or support with her, and go to the NSF app and send your love out to her. She will see it. To, you know, let them know that, you know, that, you know, you support her and her time of her issue. Today we're talking about anger and disappointment. How are you dealing with it, and how should you deal with your anger and disappointment? Now, I am not a licensed state psychiatrist, or I am a person with a degree in psychiatry, a minor, not a major. I have taken courses under business management, and I have a minor in psychiatry through over 5 to 6 years through ministry classes. I have studied and been a counselor for multiple years. I was recently, about 5 to 6 years, I was also a student in Sigmund Freud philosophy, and gradually left that field of study and became a student of Dr. Spock's child psychiatry for years. I have studied the synaptic responses in multiple psychological guides, as well as toolages under Dr. Blackman, Dr. Freeman, and also Dr. Bush, and as well as other clinical psychiatrists' guides, and toolages to teach me the basis of the human brain, the mind, and thought process. But we need to also be human about it. Instead of just using a textbook terminology, we need to be human about how we analyze our problems. And today, we are talking about a deeper subject that needs to be addressed on a deeper level. The anger, because of the COVID, has been growing. You watch the news now, you see more and more people are fighting on airplanes over mask issues, fighting over the silliest and craziest thing. It's like a bubble has burst, and people are just getting more and more out of control. You see more and more mass shootings, drive-by shootings, and this is after a claim and vow and a solemn promise from the major gangs that we know across this nation to make this oath that the time of the black gangster in the street killing one another is over. Our real open enemy has been revealed. End quote. I get that from a peace treaty that was signed and supervised from the Black Panther Party during the covert issue around when George Floyd was killed. I sat there for years hoping for a day when that will be a reality, and seeing when the first peace treaty happened, and one of my first missions and assignments as a young man serving his community. I am coming on today because with this subject, because people in layman terms or street terms have lost their ever-loving mind. I feel that we should be talking about this subject, and we're going to look at it from two perspectives, from a person outside of the psychology room as well as from the inside of a psychiatry room. And I use that term, those terms, because that is the best terms to use it for right now. Today, we really want to get deep into it. There's been over 26 instances since the airports have lifted restrictions on mask mandates on certain things, certain locations, and then they also have raised some instances where people started fighting, throwing fists, people on planes in midair has to be tackled, and there's also been some issues where we're dealing with multiple people in stores where people are not wearing the mask on certain areas where there is a mask mandate, and people are afraid to approach those who are harming or put those in harm who are not protecting their environment. So with that further ado, my dear brother, my dear friend, Brother Tone, I want to ask you, in your understanding of what you have seen within the days since the days of the mandate has been lifted, and what's been going on a constant basis. You've seen anger, disappointment in many forms. And then we'll deal with the anger first, and then we go into talk about the subject of disappointment. So dealing with the anger, not just in COVID, but the more and more, I guess you say, anger issues have occurred. That's resulting in death, destruction, and more destruction. how do you think the best way for us as a society and as well as a nation or a world should deal with our anger appropriately?
Not get mad.
But do you think there is any steps to control that anger that you can use? I mean, you just can't not get mad. I mean, people. Well, my opinion is this:
it's all in
anger.
I'm gonna tell you. But what I was about to tell you is all internal. I ran into a situation personally. And I reacted, and I shouldn't have reacted. And this is where my comment is stemming from. You know, lo and behold, we live in a country, we live in a nation that not for nothing, people like to test. They like to push things to the limit. That's the best way to term it. They like to push things to the limit. And so you're going to find oftentimes we're out here and we're dealing with people, we're engaged with people that have different philosophies, different thought processes, different, all kind of different things going on with them. But in reality, you can only control what you can control. And to be honest with you, even in personal space, just respecting it, and I'm not trying to sound cliche, but Nothing hurts you that you don't allow to bother you. Even if it's a situation where it's the obvious, you know, where there's a sign on the door, and the sign clearly says, and I know this because of one of the gyms that I attend, and it says it says wear mask in common areas. So that's the hallways, shower, locker room, etc. But you got people who have been vaccinated that are just under the notion that I'm not going to wear a mask. If I've gotten vaccinated, why am I continuing to wear this mask? Now, where that comes into play is the frustration with everyone else. I mean, my son is young, so he's been indoctrinated into COVID life. So we went to breakfast yesterday, and he forgot that he didn't have a mask on, and he just put his hand over his face out of nervousness because that's been a thing for him for almost a year now. And, you know what I mean? So, again, these are the phobias that are going to come about from this. The PTSD is going to come about from the whole thing that we've experienced through COVID. And it's a lot of people that just, quite frankly, they're not going to recover, man. The interpersonal movement amongst humans is going to vary for a long time. Especially more so with the older crowd than the younger crowd, because the younger crowd, they are who they are. Man, I mean, young people have always been taught it as being cavalier, brave, feeling invincible. You know, this the same euphemism that has been out there forever. So that even applies to COVID. You know what I mean? As well as, you know, their sexual prowess, their intent to use drugs, it all coincides. If they're young, they feel like, hey, it's not going to get me. It's not going to affect me. I can beat that. And or if they're old and they're in their ways, they're going to be even more brash in saying what they want to say, you know, albeit from a political view, which really has no point. But, I mean, people utilize that to justify things. Or it's going to be from just a standpoint of just very brazen and feeling like, hey, F you. You don't like it, whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, from a clinical standpoint, you know, when, see, the thing is, there's a mixture there. You know how when you make chocolate milk, you take one part milk, other part cocoa bean or chocolate powder. In this case, to make anger, it's one part fear and then one part unknowing. And because you mix those two, you have anger. The basis of what people are experiencing is a greater fear and a greater unknowing. So basically, instead of you having a cup of anger, you're having a gallon of anger. That's a large amount of anger. And it's not pouring it into from a large into a small. It's picking a small and pouring it into a large, which mathematically seems in its own, even in description, seems impossible. But we know in today's society, the impossible can be the impossible. It's...
Yeah, but I mean, I want to say this, though, man. Just let's cut it down to what it is. And for all those that, you know, may disagree or may have other opinions, I'm just basing things on what I view and experience in traveling. And I mean, I'll just leave it alone, man. I mean, white Caucasian Americans are the most brazen people. Those are the biggest offenders that we know of in regards to following the policy and keeping it intact. I wrote something, a piece that was it was a little condescending, but I mean, it was more satire and sarcastic, where I said, and just like that, all of a sudden, people are walking around maskless, pantyless, topless, just like there was no COVID. And the first response was a white Caucasian. Yeah, it's the Democrats' fault. And I was just, I didn't respond, but I'm actually speaking on it, so I am responding, even though I'm not responding directly to the post. But it's just one of those things, man. I mean, they are going to be the biggest offenders, feel the most slighted, and yet when I'm in public, I was in Maine recently, and I'm in Maine, and I'm looking at a situation where a white lady, store owner, has a patron, a potential customer, another white lady. Hey, please put your mask on if you're going to walk inside a souvenir shop because all of my employees have not been vaccinated. That was her reasoning. What does the white customer proceed to do? Challenge her. Challenge her verbally. Her husband is sitting there like, oh, God, here we go again. He's standing outside. He doesn't want to come in because he doesn't have a mask. He's heard the request of the store owner, and he's respecting that. His wife isn't. His wife isn't respecting that on the grounds of, for whatever she wanted to rationalize and utilize as her reasoning for not giving a damn at the door, as she was stopped at the door and asked respectfully to respect the store owner and the store's wishes, she wanted to challenge it. And so I walked out. I didn't want to just sit there and watch this person make a spectacle of themselves. But, again, most black people in the community live in fear. We have a tough time. Hey, affording health care. And that's why we have the Affordable Care Act, right? We have a tough time affording health care. Therefore, a lot of black people live in fear. The worst thing that you can impose upon them to have to deal with is medical status, health status, and going to pay their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying this to say, majority of the black people follow the rules. Latinos follow the rules. They're not challenging the policy of continuing with the mask mandate at this stage in whatever selective areas that choose to keep those policies intact. It has been our cavalier, good old, compadres within the states that just want to make it difficult. That's when we were having the reasoning that said, well, if we can wear the mask for 4 consecutive weeks, more than likely it would help bring the levels down a few months back. What did Phoenix do? Excuse me, what did Arizona do? Oh, yeah, we're going back to maskless. What did Texas do? We're going back to maskless. What did Florida do? We're going back to maskless. Mm-hmm. Each one of those governors, Republican governors chose to say, hey, we don't care what you guys are doing. This is what we're going to do. If you don't like it, don't come here.
That is so true. That is so true. I agree with that. But I wanted to ask you, since we're dealing with this and we're talking about black people and white people and we're talking about fear, do you believe there's a difference between white fear and black fear?
Certainly. I mean, a lot of things really boil down to finances and money.
Of course. It's a two-part with that. Because you think about it, if you really look at it, black fear was implanted. White fear
still is.
Is become natural because white people fear out of unknowing or not having clear understanding. Black fear is implanted by white fear. If we really look at this, because the greatest warriors came from our ancestors, our line, our bloodline. Greatest, the fearless, the toughest, the baddest. If we look at history today, we can see that the greatest warriors come from our bloodline, the black bloodline. There really was no fear. The only thing they feared was their God, because God is what they've always been taught. We've all been taught that fear nothing but God. So God is the one that we fear, if we're talking religiously. But we're talking in human standards, we were always taught never to fear. So this fear that we have in our communities has been implanted to us from far long back towards the slave trade time. It was implanted to us. When a master comes in and cuts your balls off, and we're just going to be real with this right now, and that's what he did, so that we won't produce and overpopulate the area with our seeds and then put cowbells and things on our necks and have us walk through the streets and implant this image that we are inferior or unable to or incapable of doing certain things. Over decade after decade after decade, that fear becomes implanted. Now, the one that places the fear because they don't know or they're afraid, their fear is that we seem superior by some measure without saying that we are superior. So they feel that they have to show that they are superior, but they use a dominant tool of diminishing, destroying, and killing again the mental, the physical, as well as the spiritual image of our community. So my question
is, some of that is self-perpetuated, though, and this is the problem.
Right.
I'm saying this because this is the problem that I have with myself. And where I fail myself. In the incident that I had, you know, I let someone get the best of me by getting under my skin. But here it is, man, brother. Listen, a lot of this stuff is self-perpetuated at this point because what we really know, what we know is truth at this stage, or what we believe is truth, some of it is opinion at this stage. So, for example, we feel like the white man is after us. In some instances, hey, we could say, yes, blunt, it's right there in your face, you know, a car blank. But in other instances, a lot of times we get worked up because we are perpetuating the stereotype of what has transpired for so long. For example, I'm in the store. Guy blatantly comes up and bumps me. And tries to steps in front of me in the line. And so it sends me into rage. And I should have just said, you know what, hey, I got all the time in the world. If you really need to go before me, yeah, it was disrespectful. And this is not to say I'm soft or anything of that nature. It's just to say, you know what, sometimes it's better to avoid an incident that will make you look bad in the end because that person has a different fear, as you're saying. We're talking about fear, and I'm trying to keep it on the straight and narrow about that. So this person in his mind understands that if it's a one-on-one situation, you may defeat him physically, but he defeated you mentally. Because he's allowed you to get worked up. You got riled up. You made a scene bigger than what the scene was. And he didn't move. He just stood there continuing to utter, mumble, or mouth off. And people are not going to look at him as though he's the problem. They're going to look at the person who's the loudest and say, wow, what's wrong with that guy? Or atypical. Or an atypical response. I look at the black man. He's just like any other black man. He's going off. He's going crazy, not knowing
right.
the situation. And that's where we are losing at this stage in understanding that we have to avoid fighting the silent fight with noise. We have to look at these people sometimes and say, you know what? I know why you're intimidated. I get it. You're intimidated on two fronts. One.
Yeah.
And I want you to think about this, and I want you to hear me now and hear me well. Everything that has been done to a group of people that have been deemed the underclass, they've still survived. They still find success. And so they're looking at us now as like, damn, there really ain't nothing we can do to them that can stop them. Who stops us? Us.
Right.
Do you realize in the black community, in the black community alone, more people are terminated for a mere cost of less than a dollar?
Yep. It happens because
daily.
Yeah, we're expendable is the terminology. It's expendable cost or expendable waste.
It's not that. What I'm implying is this, Brother Alpha. In the urban community, if you broke it down in a monetary sense, how much does it cost for one round, one bullet, on average?
It's about a dollar right now, but pre-pandemic,
it was, you know, 30 to 40 cents, give or take. So it takes one bullet to end a person's life in some instances. So that and what I'm saying is, with the amount of gun violence that happens in the black community, we are our biggest problem. And we are dying for pennies on the dollars that other people cash in on through major insurance policies that they may hold. You know, if you're an employee of a company and you die tragically and your family doesn't have insurance, you bet your bottom dollar that company has insurance on your ass, and they're cashing in. These are the things that we don't think about. You know, we think about a lot of things that are that play out on TV or on social media, but the real reality of what is going on in America is deeper than that. And those are the things that we should be trying to correct. And I'm gonna say this, you know, as far as fear, salute to all the black people that have taken this thing serious, that have chronic issues, diabetes, other health-related issues. And to be honest, they're not taking COVID as a joke, because at the end of the day, because of the unhealthy eating habits that has been forged amongst us because of affordability, you know, cheap processed foods to live off of, we just trying to live, man. We just trying to survive in the grand scheme of things. We're not out here trying to buck a system. You know what I mean? It's like I said, it's the people who feel like, hey, ain't shit going to happen to me, or I got enough health care to go to the doctor and get a cure and come on home. And more often than not, that's not Latinos. That's not black people. That's not African people. That's white people. And I'm not coming from a place of hate. I'm just calling it what it is.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing is that we address it. Now, we talk from the black perspective. Now, this is what I have from my conversation with those in the white community, their perspective. Now, I would use the W word. You know, we use the N word, but for them it's the white people that would talk to me on this subject. They would call the W word, with the N word.
What's that? I'm trying to understand the innuendo. What's the innuendo of the W word?
Instead of N-I-G-G-E-R,
okay.
W.
I don't deem it offensive, so I'm gonna say, well, so are you implying wigger?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
just trying to understand the context. That's all.
So what they have told me is this, that basically it's not just fear of understanding, it's that they've been programmed over the years to look at us as a foreign object, and that we – seeing that we are a foreign object, just like when a white cell in the blood system sees something that doesn't belong, it tries to destroy or remove it from the blood flow. And it's something that they can't understand, or they can't grasp it. And most of it is because of education. It's 95% of the anger and fear is because of education, a lack of education, or unwillingness to be educated, you know, and part of that not being educated is because they feel that, you know, they were told they were superior, so they don't need to be educated. There was a time when, of course, before internet, before TV, people would hang out not just at the malt shop, but they would hang out at the library, reading anything and everything they can get their hands on. But today's society, when it comes to education or to be educated, they just switch on a TV screen or a cell phone or a laptop, and they feel that they can just watch the education instead of reading and having knowledge and substance within themselves. And that kind to a kind of living or is making itself downsizing. Now, I'm not saying downsizing, but dumbsizing the way a person thinks. You know, it's like a 5% is educated. The other 95% is just going for what they heard from a friend, from another friend. Instead of reading a book or getting the actual source of the information or the truth of the matter, they all live by second nature. So if Jimmy Bob learned from Jim Bob, you know, that Black people are killing white people, they pass that on to Lucene, and Lucene finds out about that from Jim Bob, and keeps going on. It's sort of like that movie Rumor movie, or the people keep passing rumors on, and then eventually someone's going to get killed because of a rumor and not the fact. The dyslexic community has increased predominantly in the United States and has the highest rate in the world. The United States has the highest rate of dyslexia and inability to read in any other country, even higher than Africa, because of our miseducation or none of education, or lack of education. We are constantly going through a motion of not being involved in our process to know truth. We can speak on truth, but as the average person, when was the last time you picked up a book that wasn't a magazine, that did not have pictures, and it was not a love novel or something else, something that can educate you on a subject that you did not know? And you will get a 2% response. Now, I've researched these numbers, and before I even made this comment, I believe in research, because, you know, in my days of you know, doing my foundation and everything, I work doing research. The lack of education in the United States is so phenomenal, it's become a norm. If you do not have proper knowledge, you will get angry when something or somebody that you're not used to seeing crosses your path. Like that gentleman that bumped into you and whatever, that person probably thought he's superior or was not really paying attention and did not learn how to use its surrounding to watch what's around you. You can't just walk out of a room and say, I know how to watch, you know, see my whole surrounding. Someone teaches you how to do that, just like me. A military officer taught me how to watch your surroundings. That could be one. Or
no,
he just, like I said, he thought he was superior.
I'm using it as an example.
Yeah. I'm saying that, you know, this is, if he thought he was superior, he just thinks like he's the king or the Queen Elizabeth, and he can just walk right up the red carpet and go whatever and do whatever he wants to do.
This was a masculine Karen situation that I ran into, because the way it ended was, you know, for him saying, "I'm gonna call the police on you." I'm like, oh, okay. So this is what we do. We incite because of our recklessness, but then we want to use law enforcement against others. So that really was the tail of the tape. It was more like, yeah, let me start some ish, but I'm going to back it up by saying I'll call the cops on you if you do anything to me. That's what it was. Yeah.
Well, I would just say this to the people that, you know, that are listening, and, you know, these kind of things we have to proper deal. So I'm going to give you the clinical book version of steps. That is the basic step to deal with most situations. Okay, so please get your pen, paper ready. And this is what we was taught at school. So this is way straight from the textbooks. To deal with any emotion or anything in a negative manner, or any feelings or emotion, one, of course, which should be obvious, to deal with it is to basically identify and acknowledge. Once you have identified the issue and acknowledged the situation, then you have taken the first step. Then two, once you have identified the situation and acknowledged the issue, you are to put a plan, or what this also says, subtext, it says, you to put a plan into action. But before you can take that plan into action, if it's a simple thing, you can go right into the plan. But it also states into the part of it is, once you identified it, seeing what it is, you can also take a breath, step back, breathe, allow yourself to calm down or elevate the emotion or feeling or the situation. Once that is done, you move on to step three. Step three is to learn why you feel or this is happening. If you do not know why it has happened, retrace your steps, which brings you to step four, finding the path that you once left is called. So once you find where the path you once came from or where you have gone, and if that path, you look back, you will find out how you got there, how this happened, and you can take steps to find ways to, you know, fix the problem. Which brings us back from two into the last step, come up with a plan and execute. Once you have taken the plan together and you can execute a outline, so take a piece of paper, write steps so you can learn how you deal with this issue. Now, for those who are NSF radio fans out there, and I would like you to, you know, give us a call and or hit us up on the app. So what I would like you all to do is post your questions about how you are dealing with your anger. How do you deal with your anger? What is your purpose? What is your purpose? What is your feelings on that issue? And I would like you to let me know what is the best way to control what you are going through and your feelings. But once you get those steps into place and you put that plan outline, then what we're going to do, what we can do is you can contact me or you can post up on a forum where I will be taking your reactions and helping you come up with a plan so that you can actually execute a better way to handle your balance of your emotion. I'm not trying to make you into some kind of Vulcan, you know, or anything like that where you have no emotions. Yes, if there's terminology in psychiatry talks about there's healthy anger, there's negative anger. And then there's anger that is not needed. Well, I'm going to teach you how to use healthy anger, also show you the steps to manage the bad anger and learn to get rid of the unnecessary anger. So what I want everybody to do is go into the NSF Radio app today and please, please, post your anger, what you feel angry about, why do you feel angry about it. Take these steps that I'm giving you today so that we can come up with a game plan to help you manage the anger and control the way you see your life going or unraveling, as they say, because anger makes things sometimes unravel. And you don't want your life to unravel. You want your life and your mind to be tight, be able to focus, get your tasks done, and able to be a proper functioning human being. So with that being said right now, it is 1:52 past the hour. Brother Tone, I would like to say this to you, my brother. You are always great. Every time you come on in, you're a superstar. You know you deserve your own TV show. You deserve your own TV show. You know that, right? But you know where that time it is. It's that time, brother, to pay the bills. So we'll be back in 2 minutes. Going to take a little bit of a two-minute break and go from there.
Be complete. When will they be proud of me? I try to stay strong, no matter what I do, I'm always in the wrong. It never gets easier, but maybe that's the point. It's part of growing up, messing up and learning from it. That's just life, it's necessary. Clinging to hope, what else is there to live for? Got nowhere to go, what else is pain good for? I am confident that your life has a purpose. It's okay, you will get through it. Don't give up, cause someone needs you. Who am I supposed to be? Where will I be complete? Where will they be proud of me? It's getting harder to see. Spend my rest, bloody fist, questioning why I exist. Pain persists, evil gifts, fucking up my life to shit. I'm
up a little bit here on here. I want to give a shout out to one of our fans, Purple Pill. I still want to say what's up, brother. What's going on, family? How y'all doing? All right. So out there, we just wanted to let you know that, you know, we are here for y'all, and definitely want to like to say, you know, welcome to the show out there. And it started to pop up a little bit up on the chat. So if you don't just chat, don't forget to go and download the app also. So just let you know that, you know, we're always here for you. We're always there for that support, that mental, physical, whatever you're going through, up, down, whatever the issue is, you know, NSF Radio and the Powerhouse Squad is here. Right now, we've been talking about anger, okay, and how to deal with it, how to go through our personal experiences of dealing with anger, how to basically steps to rectify or try to maintain your anger or your fear, which is part of the cocktail that makes anger today. But more or less, we are dealing with disappointment, okay, which is our second part of the show. Now, disappointment is when that feeling when you put your best effort into something and it did not go the way it was planned. Or you caught your girlfriend cheating on you and you gave your all to her and you tried your best to not cheat, to be loyal, and you catch her with another man. You know, those kinds of examples of some people, how they would express it as disappointment. Or you planned on going on vacation and the money didn't come right. That's another form or example of disappointment. So with that being said, what is disappointment? You know, and how can we deal with our disappointment so it doesn't turn into a negative regret or anger or sub emotions? Each person deals with their emotions different, but we want to basically try to show you how to balance it properly. So yes, you can be disappointed in the situation, but does not mean you have to deal with it in a negative manner. We want you to take your disappointment, take it as a learning experience, and use it as a guide to deal with the next situation. All right? So Tone, how do you deal with disappointment?
Sorry about that. Disappointment. Man. Without acting intensely about it, because, you know, anger is the first emotion that is shown in a lot of instances. Sorry about that. I dropped my phone. It's shown in a lot of instances, just trying to rationalize what's the next steps. You know, at the end of the day, if we're talking about relationship, somebody played you and you got to get on and move on. I mean, at the end of the day, it's okay, man. You know what I mean? Like, one thing about it, most people are centered, you know, so from a religious viewpoint, you know, look within faith. Pray or fast, as some people often do, go into a moment of fast, and you're fasting for clarity so that you can get yourself focused and find the next vision. You don't have to necessarily react, and then there doesn't necessarily have to be a situation where you're looking to have a tit-for-tat type ordeal. You know, more or less. And that's what people find themselves doing often, and that's when they can find themselves into the very worst situations that they can be in their lives, because now here you are trying to get back and exercise vengeance. And remember, going to get biblical on you right now. And it says, you know, Hey, vengeance is not for you, man. It's for Lagod, the Most High, the Creator.
Ooh.
You let them deal with it. Let them take care of your enemies. Let them take care of your enemies. Even if the people, the person you love is going to be a short-term enemy, because that happens at times, people fall out and they reconcile. And they may not be together, but they'll be friends thereafter. So that's the best thing to do, man. Just don't try to fight the battle. You know what I'm saying? What my girl Yolanda Adams say? This battle is not yours. Glory.
Go ahead, man.
Back to you.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you an example. As y'all know, I own the National Saving Fatherhood Foundation, and it was Father's Day. And I'm using this as an example. Now, I'm all hyped because we're going to be doing this big celebration, this big program, and I'm thinking a lot of people want to show up. I can take care of this. I can start doing that. And nobody showed up. You thinking, okay, I'm going to get all these people and the news reporters on from the other stations are all going to be there and everybody's going to come home and blah, blah, blah. No one showed up. So it was a disappointment. But instead of me freaking out and yelling and say I quit and walked off, I said, I learned. I'm going to learn from this. I feel that when you have these signs of disappointment, you really need to look at it as something to learn from. But not to kind of learn where it's like you judge everybody with it, okay? You still have to have an open mind, because like that's like, let's say you're a single man or a single woman, and a perfect man and a perfect woman come by, you can't see it because you're already judging every other human being on the same measurement as the other one that you just dealt with. Because you're thinking they're all the same. I've seen this countless times. And our dear brother, Kevin Emmanuel, just dealt with himself. He dealt with himself with a client on the show. This sister comes up and says, well, men are no good. And Kevin, of course, you know, being Kevin, said, where did you meet these men? In the bars? And he said, hold on. You mean to tell me you judging every man because you went to one bar and one club all on the same scale? And then she tried to backtrack it off. After she realized she just put her foot in her mouth. So my thing is, disappointment's going to come. And just because it comes, don't take it as a learning experience in a negative manner that everybody's in the same boat. Yes, learn from it and learn how to prevent that from happening again, but also you need to keep an open mind, because if you are in the same predicament, or you're about to approach that kind of predicament, you're not judging every single thing on the same level. End quote. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree with you, man. I mean, again, everybody got their way of dealing with it. There's no perfect way or reasoning. But, you know, like I said, you know, for me, just making sure, and again, I'm just leading with the question, as you said, you're dealing with relationships, and if somebody did something to you, something to that effect, so I just say, hey, don't try to practice vengeance, because it only makes the situation worse, and you'll find yourself probably making a fool of yourself and then having to go back and apologize even when you think that you're winning because you are exercising vengeance. And, you know, disappointment is – it's gonna disappointment happens every day. Let me just put it like that. You know, at the end of the day, when you wake up, you're going to see something that's going to trigger your emotions, and it could be a potential letdown, albeit personal, directly or indirectly. It happens on a daily basis, you know, because life isn't perfect. No one always gets what they want. You know, they've made songs about everything that we've talked about. You can't always get what you want, you know. All kind of simple things that, you know, if we just sit down and we think about these things in life when we're experiencing them, it would actually make things a lot easier for us as opposed to us having to consistently try to bicker and look for it.
All right, I think a call just dropped. So, yeah, like you're saying, don't always let things bicker, go on from that point on an issue. You have to try your best to take it with a grain of salt, allow yourself to go on with that. So, with that being said, you know, we really have to try to keep focus on that, you know, things are not always going to work out. I don't know what happened. So I am trying to find out. Hold on. Let's see. Well, in the meanwhile, folks, please don't forget, download the app. Like, get with it right now. We're doing something that, you know, every week, don't forget, every week is the Power Hour Squad. Every Thursday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we're definitely trying to keep it real, keep it 100% for you. So we appreciate y'all coming in and tuning in to watch today, the show. Also, please go to the radio station's website. That's NSFRadio.com, and tune into the show live there. And we'll be glad to definitely hopefully hear you, call us in, call in the station, and to let you know, we are working on tirelessly to upgrade. So all our fans out there that do listen to us, please go to the website, keep tabs on us, because what we're doing is we're going to be making a transition. So don't know when it's going to happen. But when it does, we will be coming on air to let you know. And we do want you to understand that we love you all that's been on this platform, allowing us to grow our radio station. But we are growing. And what the growth means, more potential opportunity for us to reach more people. And we would love to have you keep reaching out to us. Our brother has come back in. Brother Tone, you were saying.
Yeah, I was disappointed that the government knocked me off the line as I was making my statements. But you know the point that, and that's the point that I'm trying to make. Disappointment happens every day. Like even as I'm trying to speak on it, You know, it's disappointing that the call dropped because it's mid-flight, so people are like, yeah, what happened to him? But I'm here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Again, at the end of the day, you know, not to be long-winded about it. Again, like I said, you wake up on a day-to-day basis. I mean, if you lead your day off with the news before prayer, I'm sure you get disappointed because looking at the world affairs, world events, what's going on outside, it will trigger you and your emotions, and that's something that you have to overcome and reset your mind and get prepared so that you can start your day and be effective. So that's disappointing. That's a level of disappointment that I'm sure older people, more mature people that, you know, care about the news, they or read the newspaper, they get into that every day. Or even sports fans, hell, people who start their day off with ESPN and they went to sleep on the game and they wake up and they find out that their team lost. It's disappointing, you know what I mean? Especially with these playoffs that's going on right now. People wake up, you know, and, hey, Philadelphia lost. Oh, man, they lost to Atlanta.
Yeah,
you know, they have to overcome
– mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have to overcome those type of situations. And my God, you know, up in Massachusetts, those Celtics fanatics, you know how they get when y'all guys lose. So, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to make it lighthearted and put a light spin on it. But life is nothing, but life is filled with ups and downs. It is a roller coaster of emotion, and if you have not found a way to be mature and find ways to overcome adversity at this stage in your life, all I can say is this: professionally, seek guidance. Seek guidance, albeit clinical or spiritual. Find you a spiritual leader that can help you pray, meditate. Meditate is a new format. And for those that indulge, I mean, I'll say this. At the end of the day, you can get high as you want. You can get drunk as you want. But everything that goes up must come down. And when it come down,
right,
you still don't have to face
right
that reality. So just keep that in mind. And in no way that I'm encouraging, you know, substance abuse or, you know, trying to push people back to the bottle. If they're fighting alcoholism, listen to my words clearly and don't be misguided in what I'm saying and receive the message. But, you know, these are – It's human nature, man, at this point. And, brother, I'm sorry to hear about what happened with you and the experience or the event that you were hosting. You know, it's tough. It's tough. But, you know, I want to speak on that and not look past that, even though, you know, the event has come and gone. But one thing I say to you, we live in a tough time, man. Marketing as a whole, and making sure that you have the fanfare there. It's an everyday struggle because you know what is happening in society now. I mean, almost everybody is a brand. Everybody is trying to be a success. Everybody is trying to make it. So, you know, if I podcast, if you blog talk, if we radio host, you got to look at yourself and say, man, there's 1 million and 1 million, 1 million and 1 of me trying to do this similar thing. So what's going to make me, you know, be a cut above the rest at the end of the day in order for me to find success? I mean, people are looking for likes. People are looking for downloads, streams, merchant sales, event processes and things like that. But one thing I will tell you is this. It's going to be a hot summer. It's going to be a lot of opportunity, a lot of times where you will be able to win, because this is what people are in a mind state now where the vast majority are just trying to forget about what happened. They don't want to acknowledge.
Yeah. You know what?
They don't want to acknowledge what happened.
I'm going to use your language. It's something you gave me recently. You don't even know you gave me. I was watching one of your broadcasts, I think a couple of days ago or a day ago, and you said about the stock market. And you said it's okay to be average.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You'll be okay. Yes,
yeah.
You all try to achieve success, but that's average. But see, that goes right to disappointment. And the reason I say that is every action has a negative as well as a positive reaction. So that means
true.
The actions, everything I do in my life that might go negative, I always keep the perspective. And a lot of people, you can do this too if you want. If something negative happens, there's something greater positive that's supposed to happen afterwards. So if you keep that mindset and don't wait for it, don't prepare for it, just when it happens and say, thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's
hey, man, that's my new thing. That's my new thing, man, as before we close out, is it's okay to be regular. You know what the thing is? People are so superficial now. You know what I mean? Especially with their outer image. Everyone is focused on having long, flowing hair, women, that is. Some guys, I mean, they may supplement utilizing the locks. People are looking to have, you know, the wonderful lashes when they're batting their eyes. You know, they want to be made up. They want to be dressed in some of the finer garments from designers, et cetera. But you know what? We know this, right, that a majority of the people who are trying to outwardly excel and shine so bright, most of these people are hurting inside and they're empty and they're shallow. That's why they put so much. That's why they put so much emphasis on their outside look. A lot of them, or you know, you're following trends so much. But when I say it's okay to be regular, man, if you can go to bed at night, wake up in the morning, see a beautiful family, no matter how big or small it is, you know, all bills are met, and that mental space is free for you to be able to enjoy life without being conflicted, being emotionally disturbed, being put into a situation where you have to rely upon substance abuse in order for you to get through the day. And that's freaking okay, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But people have made being or living that way, they want to call it lame. They want to look at it as though you're not good enough. But everyone is not designed to entertain, to be this super dominant person on this planet. Some of us were just put here to give, to bring peace, to bring. And honestly, my son just came and hugged me while I'm doing this show. You know how that made me feel? That made me feel awesome in the fact that I didn't have to teach him compassion. I didn't have to teach him love, but I've shown him love. I've imparted that into him to the point emotionally where he felt like, hey, let me just go hug my dad.
Yeah.
That's special.
I agree with
you. Yeah.
And 2-6 minutes down the show. So, Brother Tony, what's going on your next show on yours, brother? What's going on, Papa?
Man, my show's like the airport, man. You know what I'm saying? It changes on a day-by-day basis. I don't really have anything lined up too far in advance because, you know, some people may commit and then they may back out. So I wing it, man. Yesterday was actually my first live Zoom show. You know, I had a person, Miss Kitty London. I'm going to give a shout-out to her, Kitty, L-U-D-A-N. Salute to her and her children. Her son and both of her sons graduated this year. So she had a son graduate college, one graduated high school. She graduated with another degree in college as well. So salute to her. She's a radio personality.
Congratulations.
Born in Massachusetts, but lived in Florida. There you go. So, yeah, excellent person, man, great spirit. But she's always said, when are you going to come from behind the camera? When are you going to stop hiding? No, I haven't been hiding. At the end of the day, I move around so much. I don't have a lot of time to do my setups. And people are weird, you know, in the way that they want to look at the way that you're presenting yourself. And I'm self-conscious of that. So I didn't want to do that show until I felt good about it. And this guy that I was speaking to yesterday, Tristan Leroy, of the Millennium Financial Network, or Millennium Financial TV on Instagram. Check him out, man. He does. He's a real estate investor, does insurance, and we had a conversation that was struck up because he was frustrated with the representation of the celebrities in regards to how they were not representing the culture and speaking up for the culture through their art. And for example, just basically rappers talking about drug usage, partying, et cetera. But here they want you to give them 1 million likes because their son or daughter graduated and now they're going on to school. So they're telling us, hey, self-destruct. Meanwhile, they're trying to make sure that their legacy lives on tried and true. So we kind of picked that conversation up, and I was like, man, yeah, this is a great person to kick this journey off with, going live and having the visual, because he just presents himself in a way that for a young man, you know, mid-20s, he's trying to do it the right way. He's trying to show people how to do it the right way, and he has a lot of information to bring to the table from a diversified financial standpoint through insurance. And that information is critical. It's critical because I try to get it out there for everyone. So if you go back and y'all go check it out, the Talking Chit, C-H-I-T podcast. You can just put it in. You're going to find it on YouTube now, first episode. You'll find it on any media platform that plays podcasts. But that particular guy is talking about how to not use your money, but invest by way of using the term life policies. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? So I'm trying to get the good word out there for our brothers and sisters to catch up. There's a learning curve. There's a bell curve. Hey, it's not about grossing money on income. It's not about grossing income in order to be a success. You have to learn how to use all instruments of money. All instruments. Money's just an instrument. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But if you don't know how to utilize the instruments to effectively set yourself up in best position to own home, cars, things of that nature, without digging in your pockets 100% of the time, you're going to go broke chasing the big race. So that's why I say check those guys out, man. If you don't have no insurance, this is a big thing that we spoke on too. We're tired of seeing the GoFundMes. When people die, when people get sick, get you some insurance. It's affordable.
Yeah.
Stop worrying about who's going to cash out when you die. Because if you look at my last Instagram clip, that's what it was about. It was just saying basically it's not that minorities can't afford insurance.
Right.
We don't want to pay for insurance because we like, well, who's going to get the money when I die? That's the biggest issue.
We got one minute left on the show. I wanted just to say to you real quick, brother, we're going to keep that for the next part of it. Next week, I'm going to try to make this real quick. We'll make a quick announcement. Next week, we finally got somewhat of a hookup. So, Brother Tone, be ready. I'm going to send you an invite next week, and we're going live face-to-face, video-to-video, doing the show broadcast as we broadcast live on the air here. So next week, we're going to try to make that little segue in. So get your mics ready, get your camera, and the Powerhouse Squad will be live in your house. So get your YouTube channel ready, get your Twitch ready, get your Facebook ready, and we will be broadcasting live for you in your house. So definitely want to be tuned in, call into the show. That 516-418-5805 number. All you YouTube listeners, please don't forget to like and subscribe at the end of the show if you like this kind of content. If we anything we've done to help you, remember me, Sister Sophia, Brother Tom, and myself, We all are here for you because we, as we always say, we work for the people to try to help you make sure you have a better day. All right. 10 seconds left in the show. We want to say thank you. We love you. And
peace.
Peace.